Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, I've got three daughters at home, and one of the best ways to help them grow at times is to ask them questions. And Jesus, we know, did that. We are looking on Fridays at questions Jesus asked.
And there are just a whole bunch of questions. We've kind of gone through and picked out about four for this little series that we think is very helpful to consider. Last time we were together, our very first question we looked at is when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he narrowed it down to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And that answer to that question is everything. I mean, if Jesus is just one of us, he's just a guy, then his opinion's no better than my opinion. If he's the Lord, that changes everything. So what a great question to begin with, and that is just, who is Jesus? Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at another question of Jesus, and this takes us to the book of Matthew in chapter 21, and it deals with the topic of authority. And that word sometimes is not very well liked by some people, but we want to talk about what that word means, look within the context of some things that's being said here, and then see the great question that Jesus asked. There's actually three questions. There's a exchange, a conversation taking place here, and we'll look at the first two questions that are asked to Jesus, and then we'll look at his response back. Matthew 21, and it begins in verse 23. It says, "When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?' Jesus said to them, 'I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source, from heaven or from men?' And they begin reasoning among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet.' And answering Jesus, they said, 'We do not know.' He also said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'"
Let's think about, as you mentioned, first of all, that word authority. We'll talk a little bit about this episode and the background behind it in just a moment. When you think of the word authority, you said it's not exactly all that popular with some today. What is it that grates on people about the idea of authority?
Well, you know, we like, and this is the bedrock of our country, is rights. I have a right to. I have a right to say anything I want to say, do anything I want to do. I have the right. And that's really one of the definitions of authority, is the permission or the right to do something. It's the right to command people. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, the response to that sermon was, "For they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority." And what you see in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus would say, "Oftentimes you have heard it said, but I say to you." He didn't quote somebody else. He didn't get out some old dusty rabbi book and say, "Here's what rabbi a long time ago said." I said, he was the authority. And that amazed them. Here's a young man telling the audience, "Here's what you have to do because I say so." That's authority.
I find it fascinating if you just look at that word. Within authority is another word, right? You see the word author there. Roger, you do a lot of writing. I'm guessing 2,600 jump starts in, you haven't figured out a way for those to write themselves, right?
Not yet. That would be a wonderful thing.
Every single one of those jump starts, Monday through Friday, has an author, right? The author. You are the one who crafts those, comes up with them, defines how long they're going to be and what words are going to be used where and where all of this is going. It's interesting, fascinating really to me, in Acts chapter 3, Peter refers to Jesus as the author of life. As he's confronted there by some of the authorities who had killed Jesus, he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 14, "You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life." Authors have authority over what is written, right? And so when we think of authority from the standpoint of, is there someone above me? Is there someone greater than me? Someone who has created this world that I'm living in? Am I breathing someone else's air? We talked on Wednesday about how Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. That has authority written all over it.
And so we understand this in the world we live in today. You're driving down the road, and a car pulls in behind you, and a red and blue light comes on, you pull over. Why do you pull over? Because that person, that police person, is in authority, and they have the right, if you're going too fast, to write you a ticket. Why? Because they have been given that authority. Now, I'm following you, and I just don't like the way you're driving, and I can flash my lights and try to get you to pull over, but I don't have that authority. In fact, if it's caught what I'm doing, I will get in trouble because I do not have the right, the permission to do those things. So the Pharisees were simply asking Jesus, what gives you the right to go around saying what you say, and who gave you that right? Another example of this is in Matthew chapter 9, when there was a crippled man, and the first thing Jesus did was forgive him of his sins. And that got the Pharisees all upset. And in verse 6, Jesus would say, "But so that you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." Jesus had the authority. He had the permission to do what he was doing.
In the context of Matthew 21, he had the authority to come into the temple. He had the authority to cleanse that temple. He had the authority to teach within that temple. Now, we know that at times there were those who came to him with less than flattering or honest motives. And that certainly is what's going on here. It's interesting that Jesus hears their question, "Who are you," essentially, and "by what authority are you doing this? Who gave you this authority?" And Jesus responds to those questions with a question. Why do you think he did that?
Well, you know, he easily could have answered it, "I have this right. God gave it to me."
He could have worked a miracle right there the way he did earlier in the gospel.
Sure. I mean, Romans 13, verse 1 says, "There's no authority except from God. Those that exist are established by God." So the Lord could just answer that, "God gave me this permission," end of discussion. But what he wanted them to see as they were asking this question, he wanted him to get them to understand true authority. There's authority that is based on earth. There's authority based on heaven. God's authority comes before all things. And so by asking a question back, Jesus kind of put them into the corner and made them think. And that's what he's trying to get them to see.
Yeah, questions make us think. Questions reveal our knowledge. Maybe sometimes questions reveal our motives. And I think that's what's going on here. Jesus answers them in Matthew 21, verse 24, by saying, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" Now, What was it, do you think, about that question that they found particularly difficult to answer?
Well, John is John the Baptist, who he's talking about there, and John had pointed out that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins. John was a forerunner of Jesus, so John was connected to Jesus. And these Pharisees were not in step with John. They didn't like John and what he was doing. The crowds loved John. And so there they have this dilemma. Do we upset the crowds? Do we answer correctly? Do we not answer correctly? And Jesus put it in their lap for them to see. You need to answer this question. What about John's baptism? Did John make this all up? Is this just from John? Is this from man? Or was John heaven sent? If it's from God, you need to obey him. And if you're not obeying him, why not?
Yeah. It really still revolves around authority. It is not a hypothetical just plucked out of nowhere without any relatable context. You mentioned that the people held John to be a prophet. And so if they simply said, well, John was doing his own thing, he had no right to do it anyway, nobody needed to be listening to him, they knew that the crowds around them didn't believe that. They held John to be someone worth listening to. He's described earlier as the one who came in the spirit and power of Elijah, right? They knew the answer here. They knew that if they were to say from heaven, Jesus would immediately follow up with, why then did you not believe him? And by using that word belief, we're not talking about, well, you know, just some intellectual assent. It's if you believed him, you would have done what he told you to do. John came preaching an awful lot about repentance, about exposing the sin and transgressions of the heart. And Roger, you mentioned earlier that ultimately John's ministry culminates by pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Nobody could say, well, I believed John, but I don't believe in Jesus. John pointed to Jesus.
And right before this, I mean, even before Jesus asked the question, it really didn't need to be asked, but their behavior toward John had already showed what they thought about John. They weren't in the audiences to believe John, to follow John, to do what John was preaching. They were there just to take notes, try to get John as well. They didn't accept John as a prophet. And so they had already made up in their minds, they just not want to admit that. And Jesus was trying to put them to the point where, be honest, you know, what do you think about John? And he only gave them two choices. And they chose neither one.
I love how Jesus immediately follows this up with a parable. I've been on the search here the last several months for lessons from the parables of Jesus. And I think this parable is a great way of rounding this discussion out. Jesus immediately follows up that brief interaction in Matthew 21 by asking, same setting, same audience, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward changed his mind and went. Now, we'll just pause there for a moment. There's nobody listening to that parable who would not understand. That son did not at first respect the authority of his father. The father had every right, as the author of that son's life, to say, go and work in the vineyard. Now, at first, that son said, I'm not going to do it. But afterward, he changed his mind. That's the stuff of repentance. And he went. The father goes to the other son and says the same, go and work in my vineyard today. And that second son said, I go, sir, but he did not go. And Jesus, again, asks a question. Questions get to the heart of the matter. Which of the two did the will of his father? And everybody there understands. Even though that first son had a rocky start, the first one is the one who actually did the will of his Father. Now listen to how this ties back to John. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him." Some of these religious authorities were saying, "Well, yeah, we'll do God's will, we'll respect God's authority." But they weren't doing what God told them to do. Whereas you have some tax collectors and prostitutes who started off rocky by their way of life. They were saying, "I will not." But they heard the teaching, they heard the preaching, and they turned, they changed their minds and believed him. It is all a question of authority.
And when we go back to the Lord's question earlier in verse 25, from heaven or from men?
Yeah.
That's really where we are today. When we think about the idea of what we're doing as a church, what I believe, my course of life, the direction I follow, is it just what I want to do? Is it what I've heard on the internet or some video? Am I just listening to what some guy says, or is it from the Word of God? From heaven or from men? If it's from heaven, I need to be doing it. If it's from men, I need to ask myself, why am I doing it? And to understand what Jesus is saying is, both of these are not the right answers. There's one right answer and one wrong answer.
Yeah.
And these Pharisees who were challenging Jesus so much, they were following the wrong course. And the tax collectors and the prostitutes, who the Pharisees thought they were so much better than those kind of people, they were showing more righteousness and faith by believing and making changes than these Pharisees.
Maybe that would be a good exercise for our listeners even this weekend. We have some very young listeners. And as you assemble with Christians this Sunday, we'll sing together. I'd encourage you to ask those questions. By whose authority are we singing? And where did that authority come from? Why are we singing hymns of praise to God? We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Now, we're not doing that tonight, Friday night. We're not doing that Saturday. We're not going to do that Monday. We're going to do that on the first day of the week. Why Sunday? And why these elements? Just take a look around, even this weekend, and don't simply say, "Well, I do this because mom and dad raised me to do this, and this is what I've always done." Look around, evaluate the authority behind what we are doing. Get in that mode of asking in what you see the world around you. By whose authority is this going on, and is it the right authority?
And that is not just for young people, it's for all of us. All of us need to be asking that question. And as we've heard things through the years, as we practice things, as we believe things, are they from heaven? Are they from the Bible? Or is it just something that I like, something I want? And there's a lot of churches out there today engaged in all kinds of activities. A lot of it's helpful activity to the community, but is it from heaven or is it from men?
Yeah.
And you get to what did God make the church for? What is the purpose of the church? We talk about issues such as salvation. Well, I think all you have to do is this. I think you have to do is this. And what you pretty soon you start hearing is, I think. Is it from heaven or is it from men? If it's from heaven, you ought to be able to find it in your Bible. And that's the solution. We need to be fact checkers, and we need to be looking these things up, and we should never settle with the idea, "Well, it's in my Bible somewhere." That's not a good answer. We need to be able to find that passage, look it up, and be like those Bereans in the book of Acts who searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. You see, they were hearing things. And is it from heaven? Is it from men? Well, there's one way that they would get to that answer. Let's look in our Bible. And the Bible will tell us. The Bible will show us if it's from heaven, it's going to be in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, then it's from men, and we're not going to follow it.
Two powerful questions Jesus asked. two powerful questions that matter today just as surely as they did 2,000 years ago. Who do you say that I am, and by what authority are these things being done? Where did that authority come from? We appreciate you listening as we think our way through that, Lord willing. Next Friday, we'll have another question, but it may be that you've got questions of your own. You'd like to dig deeper, and there is nothing that Roger and I would love more than to jump from this, dig deeper into this, help you understand the why behind God's authority and what it means and how it relates to us today. We don't want you to take our word for it. We want to help you be a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so if you've got questions, please ask those via our website or on social media channels. Wherever you've seen this podcast, feel free to ask a follow-up question, and we'll do our best to get back with you just as soon as possible. There's no doubt in my mind you know someone who could be helped by today's content. And if you think that's the case, we would love it if you would share it. If it's been a little while or you never have left a rating and review of the podcast wherever you subscribe, we would love you to do that. That helps other people find this good content. More than anything, we appreciate your attention today to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.